Let's remember together some of the greatest TV and movie stars of yesteryear with the woman who knew them. Mary Jane Popp hosted radio and TV shows for nearly 5 decades, meeting these stars and getting them to share their real-life stories. You'll meet them up close and personal as Mary Jane searches her extensive archives for the best and brightest real star talk on Pop Star Talk. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
Here we go once again on Pop Star Talk with another celebrity from times gone by. They only come once in a lifetime, and I, Mary Jane Popp, am so happy that I archived so many of them to share with you. And I also enjoy the input of my producer, Kenneth Segura Knoll. He remembers with great insight and memories from those times gone by, too. Now, this week, we're going to go back to the 70s with a TV series that brought families and friends together to visit with the Waltons. It was a show that gathered all ages to find out what was happening to this iconic family and how they shared their lives with us. Now, I'm sure, Ken, it's always lovely talking to you because I know you've got some great comments that this series that ran from 1971 to 1982, perhaps even still in reruns, as far as I know, and it's still showing today. And a lot of the issues that they covered back then, they're still covering as families today.
Yes, it is. It's a wonderful show. That famous theme and the famous closing. Good night, John Boy.
Yep. Yeah, we talked to Richard Thomas about that.
That's right.
And he's still known for that. You know, the people who did that program, people remember them. They really remember them and love them. They got to know the family and the ins and outs that they had to go through and raising kids and a lot of kids, by the way, on the Waltons. But it's just interesting that family is family. It doesn't make any difference, right?
Yes, yes. But, you know, she was her own woman because at one point, if I recall, she left the Walton show because she didn't agree with the way the show was going as far as themes.
Well, and she was, you know, Michael Learned was basically the number one mom in the country at the time. But some of the things you'll hear in the interview is that the first few years were kind of difficult for her. Because she was just basically ironing in the background, and she'll talk more about that, until she just finally said, hey, look, you know, I'm a good actress, and she always has been, and so I need to have more. I need to have some lines. I need to be a part of this, and they did change it for her. She was actually born in Washington, D.C., and kind of an interesting background. Her father, Bruce Learned, was a diplomat. And her maternal grandfather also worked for the United States Foreign Service at the U.S. State Department. And she has 5 younger sisters, and that her parents never explained to her why they named her Michael. All they said is that if they had another child, boy child, he would have been named Caleb. But that was it. She was a girl, and she kept the name, Michael Learned. But, you know, maybe that was a good idea because she stood out because of that name, too, don't you think?
Well, I'm sure it opened a few doors.
Yeah.
And then she walked in, and they said, wait a minute.
Yeah. Hey, how come you got a name like Michael? Aren't you? You're not a guy.
Excuse me, we were waiting for Michael?
Oh, yes. maybe they thought she was the secretary to bring in Michael
right,
or something
exactly.
Like that. She actually made her big screen debut in 1980. She played the supporting role in the dramatic film, I've Not Seen It, called Touched by Love. And then she later appeared in several other movies, Power in 1986, Dragon, The Bruce Lee Story in 1993. She was actually in that too. But everybody still remembers her from, you know, being the mom, Michael Learned, on the Waltons. And that's not a bad thing. And it's interesting because she's still going strong, by the way. I talked with her in this interview last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to have to give her a call to see if she's doing anything more this year and kind of give you an update on that. But as far as I know, she's still kind of retired or semi-retired. And I don't think she likes it. But you'll hear some of that in the interview. So Let's listen to one of our favorite TV moms, Michael Learned, from the classic TV series The Waltons, and its memorable theme.
Well, that theme is so, it brings back so many memories. It really does. That's the theme from television classic, The Waltons. And it's so recognizable. And so is TV's most admired mom, all the way to movie grandma of one of America's most malicious murderers. She's still going strong in a true story of adoptive motherhood. She's an icon. She never stops. It's, of course, Michael Learned. And what keeps her going? Well, we got to find out. Michael, what a pleasure to have you with us on Pop Talk.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to visit with you.
Absolutely. You know what? You're an inspiration. Because a lot of people, you know, they go to a certain time and they go, well, that's time to retire. I don't understand. What is retirement? I don't get it. Do you?
No, I don't. I'm with you. Ugh. I mean, you know, I've had a wonderful life. My kids, I always had about at least five kids around, three of my own and usually one or two others. And, you know, and working as well. And I can't, you know, busy life. And now I sit around and wonder, what am I going to do with today? There's nothing on the calendar.
Oh, no.
So I eat chocolate is what I do.
Oh.
But I just read that Sofia Vergara does as well. So that made me feel better.
Oh, you're a kick. Okay. The Waltons. I just want to get something from you as far as what you
feel. I'm going to try to do, I'm having trouble. I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you?
I'll pump up a little bit.
Can you hear me
how's
all
that?
Right?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. How about that?
Good. Okay.
That better?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, good. Now, the Waltons, it continues to make a difference today, even though it was back, what, 1971 to 82 was the series.
Mm-hmm.
But you said when you were cast as Olivia, you had hit rock bottom. What kind of rock bottom? What happened?
Well, I was going through a divorce from my kid's dad, whom I married at 17. And, you know, he was a big part. You know, the years are longer when you're young than they are when you're older, unfortunately. So it seemed it was a good chunk of my life that I spent with him, and I loved him. But so I was going through that, and I was drinking too much.
Uh-oh.
Instead of finding a healthier way to deal with loss. And I was kind of rock bottom. I had no money. I had three kids that I was trying to take care of. And if it hadn't been for a wonderful woman named Mrs. Blair who worked for me, I don't know if I would have gotten through it. She was my rock, really.
No kidding.
And then the Waltons happened. And it was like a gift. If I ever write a book, it'll say his hand was on my shoulder because I was a wreck at the time.
Oh, for heaven's sake. But you said you also went through kind of a spiritual journey. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think, unfortunately, I was talking to my husband last night. I said, why does it always take pain for us to grow?
You're right.
Why can't we grow happy?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we can, too. But I was in a lot of emotional pain. I tend to be depressive. I'm not anymore, thank God for medication. But, you know, I was sad. I was a sad child and a very sad adult, mostly, I think, because I was angry and I didn't know it. So I turned that in on myself. I think anger can be a very wonderful thing if you can be in touch with it and use it constructively, you know, like the Jewish people did during World War II. And, you know, these people suffered so greatly, and yet many of them just helped other Jews, you know, and created homes for the Holocaust victims and so on, you know. So you can take anger and turn it around into something good, but you have to know you have it.
Yeah. But you have the talent. I mean, you've done TV, film, theater, soap operas. What haven't you done? I mean, it's amazing.
Well, I've never operated on anybody.
Oh, okay. Thank heavens. Huh?
But it's been a, you know, I love my work. I wanted to be an actor ever since I was 12 years old. I wanted to be a ballet dancer, first of all, and one of the and I went to a boarding school in England. Was terribly homesick the whole time I was there, but it was a wonderful school. And one of the teachers pulled me aside and said, you know, you're not a very good dancer. Why don't you think of becoming an actress? So there was a special drama unit at the school, and I became a special drama student. Yes.
That's what it was meant to be, wasn't it?
I guess. I was initially, as I said, a ballet student, and my husband just... it reminded me, and he said, you won. And it's true. I won the Drama Cup unexpectedly. Nobody expected me to win it. They had a, you know, it was just a school competition. It wasn't anything big. It was just a little school competition. But for some reason, I won it, and that's when the teacher said, you know, perhaps you ought to consider doing this instead of being a ballet dancer.
Did that hurt your feelings, though? I mean, because here you wanted to be a ballet dancer, and they say, no, no, go be an actress. But you said you liked being an actress since you were 12 anyway.
Well, I wanted to be a dancer, but I knew I was in a school where there were some really good kids that were beautiful dancers, and I was overweight because I was so homesick that I ate a lot of bread and margarine. This was, you know, you have to remember this is 1951 or two.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were on rations in England, so we all ate too much.
Yeah.
You know, we were all prepubescent or pubescent girls, mm-hmm. hormonal and crazy, and you know. Butter, we'd get one little pat of butter a day. It was kind of Dickensian, actually. And we slept 10 cots in a room.
Oh, my.
And we all shared this one bathroom. We had to line up to go to the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
And so it was very kind of wonderful in some ways because it was an old Rothschild mansion. So the grounds were exquisite and... you know, really, it was. I went back to visit as an adult, and I thought, "Why were you so unhappy here? It's absolutely a gorgeous school."
Oh yeah.
And, but I was, you know, you bring with you where you are in your own self, and I guess I was a sad child. You know, I was depressed, and there was no reason for it. I had a wonderful life, but
well, you're still having a wonderful life.
Yeah, and what a wonderful life she did have. Isn't that amazing? And it's funny that she mentioned that she wanted to be a ballet dancer. And then one of her teachers said, you're not very good at being a ballet dancer. Maybe you should be an actress. And I thought, you know, it happens to all of us. Now, I don't know about you, Ken.
It happened to me more than once.
Isn't that funny? It does. All of a sudden, that brought back a memory for me because... when I first started, I was a singer, an actress. I was doing musical comedy. I was doing club work, that type of thing, traveling across the country. And then someone dared me to audition for a television show, and I got it. And it turned out, after all these years, 5 decades, interviewing people instead of me. It was supposed to be they were going to interview me because I was, you know, singing and performing and all that. But no, it turned out after all these years I'd been doing these interviews and loved every minute of it because I learned so much about people and how people react to different aspects of life. And you know, and sometimes I learn lessons from these people and what they went through that made my life a little bit better or easier. Don't you think?
Oh, exactly. It's interesting that in the television show, she comes across so strong as the mother, and there's a lot of vulnerability to her based on these interviews you hear.
She hit rock bottom. I mean, she admitted that she became, you know, was drinking too much. I mean, how do I say this? I love it that they shared all these things with me.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. And that's why we brought them back.
Yeah. And it's not like I wanted them to share it with me. I just wanted them to be a part of my life mm-hmm. and me to be a part of their life. And part of that is sharing some intimate secrets that they didn't really ever talk about.
Right.
And sometimes I think they never had anybody that would listen to what they had to say.
You know, and you know this, in production, it's so chaotic. You don't have time to hear people's problems.
No.
I hate to say it.
It's true. But,
you know, you just want to get the production done, and let's, you know, we'll talk about it later. And then we all go our own way after that.
Absolutely.
Did you know there's a Walton Museum?
No. Where is it?
Back east. I looked it up. I read about it, and I said, you know, I was at the Grand Ole Opry and thinking, hey, there's another museum we can stop on our way from here to there, you know?
That's interesting. Well, you know, it was such an iconic show.
Right.
People would gather from, you know, the whole neighborhood would get together with family and friends. It wasn't just one person watching the show. And right. I think it's because so many of the issues they had, we had.
Right.
And maybe some of the answers that they found helped us.
Right. And there was a real John Boy.
Oh, really?
Was the creator of the show. It was based on his life. So, you know, it was real, real family drama.
Yeah.
He's just talking about, he's recreating the drama of his family and the characters. And, you know, but if you have a family with 7 kids or 5 kids, it's very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I've been a part of a family, but my just dealing with 2 grandkids, and I can't imagine 5 kids or...
Yeah. Or 6.
I had an uncle that had 8 kids, you know.
Oh.
4 girls and lots of big families in our family.
How do you even remember all the names? I would probably forget some of the names here and there, but I'm sure when you got these kids growing up, you remember their names and everything, but you kind of wonder.
Not true. Not true. I got 3 and I call them each other names, their other names.
Oh, okay.
And it really bothers the boys when I call them the girls' names.
Oh, okay. I bet that. Oh, I can understand that. But, you know, there's so much more about Michael Learned and her life and her work with other celebrities.
I'm curious how she got the name or why, but that's her real name. It's her birth name.
Well, let's check out a little bit more about Michael Learned and what she has to say. Let's talk a little bit about Crossroads, because you're working with Pat Boone, another icon from mm-hmm. that era. What is it? It's about adopting children?
Well, it's about a family, a woman. God, I hadn't thought about this in a while. A woman who had muscular dystrophy, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's in a wheelchair. And this couple, this very religious, wonderful couple, I actually spoke to her, and she was so full of life and humor, and it was a lovely conversation from 2 of us. We didn't know each other at all, but I felt like I'd made a friend after we hung up. And they adopted all these kids, different nationalities, and, you know, a child in need, and they took them in, and it's about those people. It's a true story. They're still alive.
No kidding. And yeah. So, but you took, the movie Crossroads talks about the guardianship that you took over for those 6 Mitchell orphans, right?
Well, yeah, in a way. Some of them may have had families and were just abused children. And, you know, I took in a couple of kids that were having very difficult home lives. And, you know, these kids, one of them was, he's passed away, but his name was Michael, and his mother was an ex-nun, and she used to burn him with cigarettes.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, some of these kids just have, and they get passed around, you know, they're on the streets, and then somebody takes them in and abuses, you know, they're just tragic, and it's still going on.
Yeah.
So it's something I feel very strongly about, and it was hard on my own kids sometimes, you know, to bring another kid into the house. That, you know, sometimes I had problems with my own children saying, you know, we don't get to see enough of you, and we're sharing you with somebody somebody else. So,
But you know, I so admire it. You look great, by the way. You really do.
For an old bag.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm right behind you. I'm serious. I'm 78 in August.
Well, my husband is 78, I think. Yeah.
See?
And he looks pretty good.
Hey, it's the old idea is that, hey, we keep going no matter what.
Yeah, we do. And I think as long as we do, we somehow maintain a youthful spirit, you know?
Oh, gosh, yes. So do you...
And I've got a little help here and there. Don't forget, I live in L.A.
Well, yeah. Well, I would expect that. Now, but do you exercise? Do you diet? Supplements? What do you do to stay young?
I don't do a damn thing. I've always eaten well. My mother raised us on a Mediterranean diet. But lately, I've really succumbed to chocolate and laziness, so I'm not very proud of myself.
You're still entitled, in my pajamas,
and I'm talking to you at 2:42 in the afternoon. That doesn't happen very often, but occasionally, my cat seduces me by sitting on my lap, and she's there right now.
But you're entitled to enjoy.
My gosh! My husband never makes me feel guilty. I love him for that.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Do you do any exercise? I mean, do you walk or do anything like that?
No. I'm blanking on the name of the disease that we've all been dealing with. COVID. Before COVID.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I took dance lessons almost every day. I took jazz classes, which I love.
Huh.
But of course, when the pandemic hit, and that's the word I was looking for, the classes were canceled.
Oh.
And they're slowly trying to get back to normal. But unfortunately, one of the teachers has retired and the other one is undergoing serious health issues. So, it'll all come back eventually. And so I don't even walk anymore. I don't know what. I've just given into being an old lady, I guess.
You know what? You'll never be an old lady. Trust me.
Well, at the moment, I'm feeling that.
Now, do you watch TV at all?
Yeah, I love watching Netflix. And I don't think I watch many of the series. Some of the comedies I do.
Like
but
what?
Mostly we watch. I watch what John watches.
Aww.
Mostly. I don't turn it on during the day. I like to read. I'm more of a reader.
Oh, good. What kind of things do you read?
Well, right now I'm reading Love in the Ethers. I read novels. I read, I read some biographies, but I read for pleasure. I read for escape. It's like most people watch television. As a child, my father wouldn't let us have TV in the house.
Oh.
So I read. He caught me once reading a true romance comic book that I had stolen from my friend's house because we weren't allowed to have comic books either. And he caught me reading it. I was hiding in a closet somewhere reading it, and he caught me, and he snatched it out of my hands. He said, he said, why are you reading that? And I said, it's romantic.
Oh.
And he said, you want romance? Read this. And he handed me Emile Zola's Nana, and I loved it. So, his point was, if you want romance, read literature, don't read comic books.
The reason I ask that is because it seems like you just have the right kind of attitude for life. So many people are they're always complaining. There's always something terrible. The world's going to come to an end. Everybody hates everybody. That's true. But you can't let life take over. You got to just do the best you can every day, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, don't think for a minute I haven't had my complaining years. I complained almost every day I was doing the Waltons. It was the greatest gift I could have been given. I was broke. I had no money. I was heartbroken. Uh-huh. I was driving a little VW Bug, which was my first car that I'd ever owned by myself, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I was staying in a little motel that has been demolished now, but it was $12 a night on Ventura Boulevard. And I was separated from my kids, just because I was here looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a very low point in my life, and I was handed the Waltons, Well, I didn't want to do the Waltons. I was supposed to go on tour with Private Lives, Noel Coward, and that Francis Ford Coppola had directed. It was a wonderful production. And that's what I wanted to do. But I knew I had, you know, that I was being gifted with this secure, financially secure kind of job, hopefully.
Yeah.
And so it was a mixed bag. On the one hand, I was thrilled and relieved, and on the other hand, I missed the theater, you know.
Yeah.
And in the first few years, I did a lot of coffee pouring and ironing in the background, and I said to Earl Hamner, he said, "Well, you're a nice person." I said, "Well, can a nice person have, scold the wrong child or do something that's kind of human?"
Yeah.
And that was my struggle in the Waltons, mostly, was make her human.
Yeah.
And then some of the other producers that came on a little bit late, because poor Earl was in the position of writing about people he knew and who knew that he knew. So he was trying to be nice to everybody. He didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings because he was a gentle man. But for me as an actor, it seemed like all I did was say, "More coffee, John, and time for bed, kids." And then what happened, John Boy? And, things like that. And I was kind of bored silly, but at the same time, grateful. And then they really went out of their way as writers and producers to give Olivia some depth. And I'm deeply grateful for that.
No, absolutely. Well, now tell me, who is Michael Learned today?
I'm an old, I'm happily married lady, and I don't mind being old anymore. I like it. People call me sweetie and honey. that's fine with me.
Well, as we get older.
I just wish I was more physically active. It's my fault. I mean, I could walk and do things, and I just don't. I seem to, when I'm not working, I kind of veg out. I lose all my oomph. I guess. I deflate like a balloon.
But, as
when I'm working, I bounce.
As we get older, the good thing is that there doesn't seem to be any roadblocks anymore. I'll say what I feel. I'm not going to, temper it at all. I'm just going to speak out and be honest. Isn't that good?
Yes. It's a relief, And I don't have to be, I try not to be bitchy or anything, but I will say, I just confronted my dentist over the bill, and he took $200 off the bill.
Oh,
I said, "I'm on my retirement. I can't afford this."
Good for you.
It was very nice. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
I do speak my mind, but I try to be nice. I'm a little mean to my husband sometimes, but.
Well,
it's his fault.
How long have you been married?
32 years. 33 years we've been married.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, my husband and I were married 53 years, but he passed away this last December.
Congratulations.
Yeah, he passed
away. Is your husband still with you?
No, he passed away in December.
He
passed away in December. But you know what? He's still with me. Yeah, but he's still with me. He's still hanging around.
Of course, yeah. You get to know every hair on the back of someone's head.
Yep. And,
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, I appreciate it. But, I know he's around saying, "Hey, suck it up and go do your job."
Well, he's part of you.
Yeah.
I mean, of course.
Absolutely. So. Do you have a philosophy?
But the ache in your heart takes a long time to heal. I have a friend who lost her husband about 5 years ago. It took her 2 years to get back to where she, where she's beginning to enjoy life again.
Yeah. And it is. But, like I said, I know he's still with me. So that's the main thing that keeps me going.
I'm glad to hear that.
Now, do you have a philosophy of life? That's a big question to ask.
It is. And I guess keep putting one foot in front of the other, no matter what. You go through the highs and you go through the lows. And you just have to keep going until it comes to an end, I guess, because I don't think I've done anything heroic, except I raised three fine boys who are now fine men. So I'm proud of that. And I have five grandchildren, and I, you know, physically, these aren't the golden years. I don't know whoever made that up.
No, they're the rusty years. It's the rusty years is what it is.
Creaky years.
Yeah.
But everything else in my life, I could never have dreamed of when I was going through hard times emotionally. And I have a beautiful husband. I live in a nice little house. The only thing I would change would be living in L.A. I'm not crazy about living in this town. But I have a cat, and my kids love me, and my grandkids love me, and I adore them. You know, what more could you ask for? But it wasn't always easy getting here. A lot of therapy, a lot of help. Quit drinking, for starters. That wasn't a good way to go to find solutions to my problem. And chocolate.
And
it
chocolate.
All helps, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad you love chocolate. Because do you eat the dark chocolate or the milk chocolate?
I'm a milk chocolate girl.
You know what? I was for years and years. And I thought, dark chocolate. I kind of got used to dark chocolate. Now,
did you really? Because it's supposed to be much better for you.
I know. And yeah. And now I like it. I really, really do. A little bit. Once in a while, I got to go back to milk chocolate just because I grew up with that, you know?
Yes, I did too. All my allowance went for candy bars.
Oh, good for you.
25 cents, you could get 5 candy bars, and that's what I did.
Oh, by today's standard, you can't even buy a candy bar for, you know, $5, you know, anymore.
I know.
It's amazing.
But, I don't know who invented chocolate, but whoever did it. It's not so bad, you know.
Yeah.
I try to keep my weight down, but I still weigh 20 pounds more than I, well, maybe 10 pounds more than I do.
Well, you know what they say, though. As you get older, you should have a little more weight on you.
Yes, I have a friend whose husband was a coroner, and he told me that.
Yeah.
So, I said, Peter, how can you possibly enjoy, you know, examining dead people and taking them apart? And he said, it's a mystery. You're trying to solve a mystery.
Uh-huh.
And I said, but doesn't it make you depressed? And he said, no, the only depressed thing is when I have to work on children, do an autopsy on children.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's a funny way of, I mean, for an actor to think that going over dead bodies to figure out what killed them would be a difficult job. But he said only it really, and he said for women, it is better for them to have some fat on their bodies.
Yeah.
And so that was all I needed.
Yeah. Back to the chocolate. Any projects coming up?
No. The phone hasn't rung.
It will.
I'm not out there beating the bushes either, so.
It will. With your talent, you've got to be able to use it.
Oh, thank you. From your mouth to God ears, because I do love to work. So I hope something usually comes along. But it's been a year since I did my last gig, and I hope something comes. 2 years, my husband just...
Oh, he just corrected it.
Feel better. But anyway, something always turns up, so I'm hoping... I hope it's not over yet, but I've had a good run. So.
Why don't you write that book?
Well, I am, sort of. I mean, I've done a lot of writing, but it's all little essays, little this's and that's and memories. And now I'm probably going to work with a co-author and maybe put something out there. At least there are two books. I had a very interesting childhood, at least to me it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one book. And the other book would be Driving Down and This New Life that happened after the Waltons. You know, when you go from being an unknown actor and suddenly people are grabbing at you because you're the mother of America briefly.
Yeah.
It's even for an adult, I was 32, but it was really made my head spin. And
sure.
I remember sitting once in a hotel lobby, like a fancy hotel that I couldn't afford before. And I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, you're a celebrity now. And, I might have been a 10-year-old trying to get an autograph from myself. I was like, how did this happen? But I don't knock it. It was challenging and wonderful.
And she was wonderful, Ken. You know, I felt like we were just a couple of gals sitting on a couch with a glass of wine and sharing, you know. It was the most wonderful interview. I loved her.
I didn't realize that. When did you do this interview?
Last year.
Wow.
Last year, she's 86, so she would have been 85 last year. But I have to get a hold of her because I did not know that her husband passed away. He passed away this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to give her a call and just say, you know, I'm so sorry to hear about that. That's why we were sharing about, you know, when you lose someone in your life.
Right. I would call her.
Yeah, I'm going to give her a call.
I don't know. We aired the show, you know.
Yeah, so she can hear some of the things we talked about. Maybe she started her book that she was talking about. Yeah. So we'll have to talk about that. But, you know, we always think of all these stars. Oh, they've got to have a good life. Everybody loved them. Like she said, you know, they want to be a part of you and they grab at you and everything. But, you know, it's not all a bed of roses. It just isn't. You heard some things about her life that I don't think most people know.
A friend of mine used to say, you go to the show, you smile, you have a good time, then you get in your car and drive away and cry.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I know that's happened to me many times. Yeah. It really has. Mm-hmm. And she had to go through a lot, too. I mean, she was married four times. Mm-hmm. John Daugherty is his last name. He was a lawyer. And so this was the fourth marriage for her. So, you know, that also, you know, is this going to be a keeper or not? You never quite know. And I always love when I ask them about their philosophy of life. There's always this pause. Did you hear? It was like a real pregnant pause there,
right?
for a little bit. And that's because they really don't think about that. They're looking at their next script or the next show that they have to do. And instead of thinking about themselves and going into kind of an introvert to find yourself. I think I would be doing the same thing. I'd have to really think about that. What was my philosophy of life or describe myself or something like that. That's difficult to do. It really is.
Yep.
Because they become a personality.
Yep. Yeah, that's correct.
Sometime I'm going to ask you, Ken, what your philosophy of life is. How's that?
That's fine. I'm ready.
Okay. You're always ready.
I figured that someday you would, so I've been practicing. No,
oh, okay.
Just kidding.
I know.
I do have I share it with my kids and they think it's, you know, when they're complaining, I say, remember, I cried because I had no shoes. Then I met a man with no feet. And now my daughter repeats that to me quite often.
That's good.
When she's feeling sorry for herself.
Yep. There are a lot of things that are a lot more difficult in life than what we have. And we're very lucky. We're very lucky.
Oh, yeah.
Because the other thing is we're still doing what we love to do.
Yeah.
You know, like she was saying, Michael was saying, the phone's not ringing. And that's got to be heartbreaking. You know, when you have a great deal of fame, everybody loves you, your series is going well, and then all of a sudden the phone doesn't ring anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts. That really does. Well, anyway, Ken, another one in the can, huh?
Great. Yes. Yeah. I like this one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I like it because she was very down to earth.
Great call.
So another memory gone by on Pop Star Talk. And I always hope to share the real person, of course, behind the character that we got to know and love from movies to TV and a whole lot more. So thanks to all of you folks for joining Ken and me on this journey to some special times on Pop Star Talk with some very special people. And thanks to our engineer, Greg, who puts it all together for us. Till our next time together, our trek into the entertainment past. Of course, I'm Mary Jane Pop with this wish for you, as I always say, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and dare to dream.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.